welcome to the bigger picture. As you know, I'm the editor-in-chief of Urban Magazine because you were in Urban Magazine. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this.
Thank
now,
you
are Tiffany Lloyd. Tip space for everybody that does not know. This is a woman that is out here doing her thing. She is, you are not just regionally known, nationally known. You are globally known for your work. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. Now, I mean, you've played with international recording artists like Yolanda Adams, Kiki Wyatt, Lettucey, Jimmy yeah. Jam, Terry Lewis. I mean, we could sit here all day and run through the list of the people that you've actually worked with and played with. That is phenomenal. So kudos to you. Now, you did just drop a new project, right? You have Paradise?
Yes. One of my favorites.
I cannot. Oh, how many hats did you have to wear in order to put this together?
Like all of them. Well, not all of them, but yeah, a few.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Excellent. I bet. I have no doubt that it was a lot of work. Now, you're from D.C., yes?
No, I'm actually from New Jersey. I live in D.C. I'm based in D.C. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're the tri-state. Yes.
Really? Yeah.
You are a relative. Excellent. Now, but you're in DC now, though. This is where you're kind of like you're based out of.
Pretty much, yes. Based out of DC. So when I'm home, I'm in DC.
Awesome. Now, DC, I know that area, that region is popping. So,
it really is. It really is. I tell people that all the time. In DC, you're always, I mean, there's so much to do in general, period. But if you're working here as an artist or just even just as a musician, you have to force yourself to take a day off.
Because
there's no shortage, at least in my opinion, there's no shortage of work here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely popping. And there's always events going on. It's almost similar to New York in a way where it doesn't sleep much. The city doesn't sleep in certain ways. Yeah.
Now, you've been doing music your whole life, pretty much.
Pretty much, yes.
Now, let's start from the beginning. I don't want to sound cliche and say, when did you start playing music? Because that just seems like the cliche question to ask. Yes. But tell me about your beginnings. Like, when you play with purpose, I can tell just by, I've been watching you for 4 years. So I know you play with purpose.
Yeah.
So when did you know that this was your purpose?
Does
it differentiate between the time you start? I mean, obviously when you started, you didn't know like, okay, this is my purpose. It's a little serious square, like a child, but,
right.
but you know, when did you say, okay, yes, music is my love. This is what I want to do.
It's almost like to what you first said, I always knew. You know, I just didn't know how to articulate it. So I always knew, because I started off playing around with the piano. I used to see my sister play and I wanted to do what she did. I didn't know why, but I was just always drawn to an instrument, you know. And then I really fell in love with music when I started playing bass. And it wasn't a matter of, oh, I know this is what I'm going to do. It was just always in there, like, this is why you live. This is why you're and it was just making sense of that and learning how to change that into a career, that knowing into a career and how to navigate it. I had to define it. I had to put a definition on it first.
So would you say that your sister is pretty much like your first inspiration almost?
Actually, yeah, in a way, yeah. Yep, sure was.
Now, I'm sure that just brought your family much joy to have two musical people under one roof. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
so did you grow up like playing together and singing together? And
no, because she moved out and got married way before I like even really started to see the world. So she was already over there and then I'm like finding my way and everything. So yeah, and then now the I mean, actually, her included, they all support me in everything I do, you know, so.
So I know sometimes families, when they hear that their child wants to be a musician, they're like, Did you have what was your experience? What was your experience?
So my parents were always very supportive and always very proud, but they did have that, I don't want to call it a worry, like a concern, like, so do you want to get a regular job to fall back on? But with no shame or not trying to dim my confidence or anything.
Oh, of course not. But
you know, they're like, keep doing, do that. But do you want to have something else, you know, as well?
Right.
So, but they never told me not to play. They never told me to stop or slow down or put that on the back burner or make that a secondary thing. So the funny thing was, I think they both saw so much, you know, faith in myself. Mm. I had so much faith in myself and so much determination, my work ethic, you know, everything lined up with she's going to be successful. They just didn't know like how it was going to turn out. Neither did I. I didn't know what the path was going to be. I didn't know what the journey was going to look like. So even to this day, my mom says, I just didn't know you were going to be like this.
<You know? laughs> Like, I didn't know you were going to like really be doing this like this, you know, maybe play for like, you know, the on weekends or, or, you know, just for like weddings, you know, that's a big thing. But like, you are out here doing it globally. Like I said, everybody, please. Okay. She is Terry Lewis, Jimmy Jam, Kiki Wyatt, Ledisi, Kenny Lattimore was another name I came across. I mean, there were so many people. I mean, we could sit here all day.
Right.
Now you are, how do you define yourself as, I mean, because you are a musician, right? But you have a new project. You have Paradise. So that you're an artist. It's not that you're just playing, like, let's say there are people, and I'm not to take away from musicians that play music that's already been, you know, transposed or put together. You know what I mean? That's already, this is your thing. This is your song. So, and you know, you do your own music. Right. So the term musician and artist is used interchangeably all the time.
Awesome.
So in your words, how do they differ?
To me, they're very different. It's almost like offense and defense. So the musician is the defense, the artist is the offense. They all work together. So that's the only difference between, you know, offense and defense and work together. But it's like, as an artist, you're in a whole different role. You know, you're the leader, you're the boss, you're the creator, you're the inspirer. You also have to inspire other people. So you're the entertainer. You know, and you have all the lights shining on you, so to speak, literally too. But as a musician, you're the help, as they say.
Okay.
See, the different, you know, define it as that. And I never actually called, you know, a musician the help myself, but I understood what that musician was saying. So it is true in a way. But as a musician, it's not less than, you know, an artist, but your focal point is your craft. Your focal point, you serve whoever you're playing for. So if you're working with an artist, your job is to do what that artist needs you to do, not be an artist. And I've seen artists.
You've seen musicians, I'm sure. You've seen people come through and you have a job to do. And instead of doing your job, you've decided to take the liberty to improvise when you're supposed to just be playing the song. That's it.
Yeah, one job. You want to be the artist. So that doesn't work. So that's a good question you gave. You know, you asked, because it's a big difference. And you have to know when. You have to have the discipline to turn those roles on and off.
Discipline. You know. Absolutely. And I feel like that comes into play in this industry. That is built into the fabric of what it is to be successful, I think, you know? So for you, when did the convergence take place, going from musician to artist?
Oh, yes, that's a great question. So it took place for me in 2017. And I didn't really see it coming either. I didn't plan to become an artist. I was just like, oh, I just want to play for everyone all over the world. That was my real So it took place when I went to a Stevie Wonder concert, the first time ever. Yeah, who wouldn't want to be an artist after they go to a Stephen
I Fry? mean, you just brought up the biggest inspiration for about 2 million people.
Here's the irony. I wasn't already like a big fan. I liked them, but I wasn't like listening to all his songs and things like that. I just happened to go to a good friend of mine invited me to go to a concert because she knew some of the musicians and stuff. So I was like, oh, yeah, go. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. So in my head, I'm like, oh, this is how I would do a concert if I was an artist. So later that night, I went home and I wrote out exactly how I would do my own show if I was the headliner. Never ever thought about that before, ever, ever. And I wrote it down. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And I left it. And then, like, 6 months later, I get news that I'm going to do my own show at a major jazz venue in D.C. And I'm like, okay, so that's when the conversion started. It was something. It was really, really something.
I bet. I mean, and what better, like I said, what better artist to be inspired by than Stevie Wonder? Wow. Yeah, I'm telling you, I mean, he's just a gem in the industry, I swear.
He really is.
Now, tell me the difference between being an artist and being a brand, because you have successfully done so. I mean, and that is a big undertaking, and people don't realize there's a difference.
It's a big difference. Thank you for asking. Okay, so a brand is—it's like that point when, as an artist, you begin to see yourself as a business, and you want credibility and you want people to take you seriously. You don't want to be just some new talent that happens to have a name. You know, you want to actually have a consistent name, a household name, and that should be your goal. So I think the difference between being an artist and being a brand is, like, an artist, and like I said, it's no shade or anything to anyone who's not a brand just yet, but an artist is someone who has already taken that lead role. You know, they've embraced being a creator. You know, they're working, they're doing shows and things like that. But when you start a brand, now you're looking at who's looking at you. You're more concerned with your image, you know, and also what you're giving back. So you're trying to make yourself reachable.
Really ding, ding, ding.
And you want to, you know, you really care. Like, you know, there's, and I still think there's some major celebrity artists out here who aren't a brand because they don't care. They don't care. And
reach it out.
Yeah, it's a big difference. So,
because there's a certain level of responsibility that comes with all the glitz, the limelight, the, you know, there is, it's like, you know, you have artists that, like you said, they've become very popular. They're trending. But when you're a brand, it is part of legacy. It is part of giving back, you know, and that I absolutely agree. That is the difference. So what can aspiring artists do to differentiate themselves among other artists?
Well, first of all, I think they have to start to take their eyes off of what other artists are doing and put all eyes and ears.
I love it. I love this. Yes, I absolutely agree.
Yeah. A lot of artists are, I mean, it's okay to get inspiration from other artists, but don't focus and model yourself after other artists. You know, even with Stevie Wonder, I didn't say I want to be just like him. No, he inspired me on how I want to, you know, conduct my own shows and shape and form them. But yeah, yes. So yeah, you have to first put all eyes and focus and discipline. That's a big thing as an
discipline.
Artist. Big.
Spell it out. Black letters and caps.
Bold print.
Okay. So anybody listening to this, if you want to be an artist, you want to be a even when you want to be a musician, you know, I mean, as you go through the evolution, you have to be disciplined because you have to take the time out to practice. You can't have any distractions. You have to know when to turn that off. So that starts first. And then as you evolve into this artist in your own style, then again, it takes discipline. And then a brand. Now you're reaching another pinnacle in your staging, and you know, and I absolutely agree. I do.
Also, to get to a brand standpoint, you have to create a win-win situation. You know, everybody sets goals, and they set goals for, oh, I'm going to be motivated to do this and execute this goal, but they don't have a plan B. And a plan B is not if that fails. That means, what do I do if it doesn't go according to plan A? So you can break it down as simple as like a diet. You know, everybody goes on different diets and stuff. But a lot of people don't plan for those days where it doesn't, you're not around your food that you prepped in advance, or you're having a bad day. You know, if you don't plan for that, you're going to fail. You know?
What a great analogy, though. I like that. That is a very good way to look at it. You know, because, you know, people can get hung up on having a plan B in case this doesn't work out the way I planned it. And you're right. Instead of maybe going off and having a completely different path, it's actually better to say, you know, what if this doesn't work? How can I pivot?
Right.
What way can I, you know, make this work?
Yeah. You're still going to go upward, but the plan is to go upward right instead of upward left. Your plan A was right. You're still going to,
Yeah, absolutely. That makes complete sense. Now, you've worked with so many amazing people. What surprised you? What was one of the things that you were like, oh, okay, I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming. Do you have like a situation where you were like ready to meet somebody, like, oh, I'm gonna work with such so and so today, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, this didn't turn out the way I want. Now, again, you don't have to say any names. I know how the industry works, so you don't have to say any names. But did you have a situation like that?
Hey, not in a bad way, but it was a couple of things. One, and this is one tip that I can give to any aspiring artist or musician that wants to work with people in that next league, that next tier of artists and everything, is don't act like a fan. There's so many musicians and even artists out here that want to work with other artists that act like fans, and artists don't want to work with fans.
Right.
They want to work with even like, okay, you don't have to be friends, but coworkers, you know, and that's something I realized.
Here's
something that hit me when I first ever went to the Grammys. I realized that the other celebrities, they don't look at you like, I'm just a little, you know, fan. They look at you almost as an equal. Not,
right.
But yeah, because
you're in the room.
You're in the room. Exactly. Yeah. That was really, really surprising to me. What's another? There was something else I was going to say as far as, so I realized that the more A-listers are some of the most humble, easy, not easygoing, but like easy to work with artists. Effort. And you know, it's funny because you hear all these horror stories sometimes, you know, leading up
like
to
prima donnas, like, you know what I mean, like, yeah.
And it's like, and I've had those moments where I'm like, that artist is really nice. They're serious, but they're really nice and cool. And you know, a lot of people expect the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Whether just because they're a more, you know, a higher A-lister or whatever, or they've just heard some dirt. And I never listened to that ever because I'm like, I want to experience this artist for myself.
And you can't listen to it, you know, and it's just the same and even heightened, I would think, in the industry. You know, when you hear gossip or you hear something, it's like you just kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. Because these are people too, and they're under the microscope. And I can see that. Now, you mentioned the Grammy. Now, the Grammys. Okay, yeah. So you know I'm going to have to tap into that because you are the only female bassist in the DC chapter of the Grammy Award Recording Academy.
Yes.
That's big.
Well, you know what's funny? I didn't know that until I got called because I was the only one that could do the job, that they could call for the job because they were looking for a female bass player in the chapter in the recording academy. And I said, so that's how I found that out. But it was pretty good.
I was trying to like, it was like a nonchalant, I'm just the only female bassist. You know, well, that brings me to this thought of, you know, how do you handle the challenges of being a woman in the music industry, because as a musician and as an artist, it's like, because there are so many more men, yeah, you know. And I've noticed that even with instrumentalists, I mean, don't get me wrong, I see us coming out, you know, women coming out, you know, guns a-blazing, we're doing our thing, you know, there's so many more guitarists, bass guitarists, there's so many instrumentalists, right, drummers, everything, that are women now. But tell me the challenges that you've had to face as a woman in the industry.
The most challenges I've had to face are the preconceived notions of a female musician. I always say on interviews, like, the one thing I always get is, oh, you look like a bass player. And I'm like, what is a bass player?
Does that mean?
Exactly. Yeah, so most of the challenges I have are things that people say. I have to try not to get annoyed. People might come to my Instagram page and say, oh, are you full-time? And I'm like, how would I accomplish half stuff on this? I think I'm superwoman a lot of times, but I'm not that much of a superwoman where I could probably hold down a 9-to-5 and right, do all of that. So, but, you know, it's some questions are lighthearted. Nobody needs any harm.
Right, of course.
Some people do ask you really shady questions. It's like, oh, okay. So just because they know, like, even just this weekend, I mean, I've been playing for how many years, and I'm up on stage, and this guy comes to the front. Can you really play that thing? And I'm like, hey. The question that sometimes, as a female, some people would never ask a male musician.
That's what I was just thinking. He would never ask a man that question. And you are just so gracious, and you just smiled and like, but yeah, I'm hearing you're not. But anyway, so seriously, I mean, you would, I know that you would never say that. And, you know, these are things that we would always just probably say in our minds. But it's just kind of like, you know, we as women, we endure this type of double standard.
Yeah.
And lack of support, belittling, microaggressions. So, you know, and you just smile it off. You just keep it moving because.
I know when I start playing, you're not going to know, is it a woman or a man? You know, say
it's not going to matter.
Right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't
you know?
Matter. You just do your thing, you know, and keep it goes back to being an artist and a brand. You have to keep your eyes on yourself, you know.
Brand. You got to make sure you keep an eye on your brand because you are constantly being observed.
Big time.
Yes.
Yeah.
What inspires you to create? I mean, is it just like, you know, do you hear a song or you see, I don't know, you see something that inspires you or what inspires you to create?
It's sometimes a couple of things, life, you know, I could be thinking about something that happened, or it could just be, if a lot of times it's a song that resonates, but not in a way, you know, lyrically or anything, but just the music in it, you know, if it's just that, it could be simple, it doesn't have to be, you know, very complex or anything, and I'll just try to not force anything, don't force any creativity, I'll just go with what feels real to me, so if I don't feel like I identify with a song, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to create something out of it. You know, so I just go, whatever hits me, whatever inspires me. A lot of times, like I said, I'm already playing something and a feeling will come across or another song will come in my head, you know, and I'll just try not to be an artist if I'm on a job as a musician. It just depends on, depends on what's going on. So, yeah, I would say life in general, though, will inspire me to create.
So when you create, how would you define your style?
Weird.
You said weird?
At least my first single, that was a little off. But I was inspired 2:30 in the morning, and that's the song I wrote. But I would really also describe my style as soulful, but more underground than anything else.
So. Nothing wrong with that. That's a beautiful thing there.
Yeah.
So what genres, I mean, we just said underground, what genres move you? And neo soul. Neo soul. So what neo-soul artist would you like to work with?
I would love to work with Jill Scott.
Of course.
I don't know if that would happen, though, because I love you, Jill Scott. But I don't think she hires women musicians. And I'm not mad at her. I never saw a woman, as far as a musician, working with her. So.
Well, that just means that that's your job. That just means that that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. Other than her, also, I mean, I don't know. I don't think she would fall under that same category of music, but Janet Jackson.
Oh, Janet Jackson. I mean, well, she's just Janet Jackson. She's Janet.
That's one of the words for Janet Jackson. Yeah, I would love certain stars. I love how they deliver. I love this the feeling of their music. So, yeah, those are two that I would love to
put. Now, you just said Janet. So, you just made me think of For Colored Girls, the movie. But you, miss, you played For Colored Girls, you were the bassist for the off-Broadway play in New York City.
Yes.
Tell me about that experience.
Oh, man. I tell everyone I grew up really fast when I had to take... I feel like I went from teenage girl to grown woman in that moment of going through that. It was a four-month span of the show.
Oh, my goodness. That's intense.
Yeah, it was... Because the show did so well, they extended it three times. And most of my experience with that was mostly New York. You know, even I'm from New Jersey, but New York is different. And the MD of that play told me I should write a book on my experience during the play of just living in New York and the things that I had a story for everything. Just trying to get to the theater every day for the shows. It was a story. It was a whole movie. And wow. I could probably tell kids and grandkids in the future of that. So it was a great experience. It was, you know, that was my first Broadway play. So I got used to working long. It's not like touring, like regular touring. You're working with the same people like 16 hours a day through tech rehearsals and stuff every day. Every day. So it was a lot of bonding, a lot of laughs, a lot of fun. That was
the yet you were able to gain a bond with the cast.
Yeah, literally. Yep, literally. I have lifelong friends now just from that one play. You know.
Well, it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's a traumatic situation, but it kind of is. So because you're going through, it's like being in the military or, I don't know, working in an emergency room, you'd think that, you know, you're in the trenches, so to speak, with people, and you are, it's a stressful environment.
And it's also
it's good stress. It's good stress, but it's still stress, you know?
Or such an emotional play. I think at the end of the day, that was the iceberg.
Oh, and then there's that.
I promise you, we played, I don't know, it was 60-some shows. I don't know. Well, actually, no, it's way more than that. But, every night, because it was such an emotional play, we all felt it. You know, we literally did. It was a very good cast that was put together, a very good show. But yeah, that was the icing on the cake. It was an emotional play. So
yes, it is. It's very, very. It's a heavy story. Stories, plural.
Right.
So, tell me what it was like to be on the cover of Guitar Girl magazine. The cover.
On the cover. You know what's funny? I always wanted to be on the cover of a magazine. And so for that to happen, that was like, oh my God. And actually, that was the second one. The first one was Global Woman magazine. That was the summer before then. But Guitar Girl magazine was different because it was more related directly to my craft. Mm-hmm. And to hit the cover was a surreal moment. But it was like a lot of other moments that I've had where it's like an inspiring dream, but then it happened, and it's like, okay, what's next? Like, oh, that was great. What's next? You know, so not demeaning, you know, making the cover of that magazine, but it was yet another accomplishment. And now I'm like, okay, what's next? You know?
Yeah. Okay, check. That's already done. Okay, I completely understand. Absolutely. You know, you are just so driven, so motivated. And what kind of support do you have behind you? I mean, because you seem like you got a freaking village. I can tell by your energy.
That's also more of my experience with that magazine. When it sold out was when it was like, you know, it wasn't so much making the magazine, because that was like, I don't want to like act so nonchalant about it, but like get another thing on my bucket list. But when it sold out, it hit different. You know, it was like, oh wow, people actually, okay.
Wow.
It's on back order. And even to this day, you know, some people are like, you know, but the support obviously is.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very strong. I do take my fans seriously that I don't know. I think they are, you know, I have fans online, you know, because I have a big support group in the home, in my hometown. But also, you know, online. Yeah. It's a big support. And they're so genuine, you know. So, like, that's what my support system is like.
You deserve all of the accolades, all of the flowers. So to speak, you do, because, you know, you can see it in your presence that, you know, there are some people that do what they do. And again, not taking anything away from anybody else doing it, but everybody has different reasons as to why they want to be in the industry or they want to be an artist or whatever it is, whatever facet. Right. But there aren't many that you come across that have this light, and you have a light, and I can see it every time. Again, I've been watching you for 4 years. That sounds creepy. Does that sound creepy? I'm sorry. I have been following your story for 4 years, and you bring that type of light. And I think that's the reason. I mean, that's what it takes, you know? Yeah. I mean,
thank you. You know? No, to what you're saying too, I think, yeah, motives are everything. I think you have to be in the industry for the right reasons. If you're in it for the limelight or for the popularity, this is like quit. Just, you know, think of something else.
Well, I would say now,
no, you know, because it's not worth it in the long run. Even if that long, you know, you can really just hurt yourself, you know, mentally, because it's a rough road. I smile a lot, but it's rough.
I was good. She's like, as she smiles. But you mean, yeah, because like you said, you have to do it. Your motives are really important. The why is important. Yep. Because again, if you are out here doing it for vanity's sake, you are going to be miserable. You are, and you won't last. You won't last.
Exactly. You will not last. That's how you do something else.
Yeah. Now, what is the single most important thing you think a musician should do if they want to be successful in this business, in this industry?
In this industry. I think a musician has to learn the importance of discipline and learn to implement it. And, you know, and that comes with realizing your life can't look like everybody else's. You can't. Okay. It's just like, you can't have 6-pack abs and eat that same thing that everybody else eats. It doesn't work.
But why? Why, Tiffany?
Yeah, it doesn't work. So it's the same thing, you know, you can't, even growing up, you know, as a teenager, you know, I wanted to hang out, and I did, but not quite to the extent that some of my peers did. You know, I locked myself in my room and practiced many hours, and you have to practice that, or so you have to just be okay with that, and beyond okay, you have to want it, you know, you have to want that, you know, different lifestyle where you just want it so bad. I remember somebody, and this was so inspirational to me. I was at a crossroads in my career. I was a musician already, but I was trying to go to that next level, you know. And artist told me, she was a local artist. She said, "You sleep on as many kitchen floors as you have to make it to stardom." Never forgot that. It was like a mentality for me. Just that one statement was a mentality, a mindset for me. And I already had it, but it confirmed. What she said confirmed what I was already thinking. Like, I said, oh yeah, it's okay to think how you think. I knew I was like a little crazy, not crazy in a bad way, but crazy. I want to go the extra mile all the time to do whatever it takes to get me to where I'm trying to get to. So, yeah, a musician has to, and artists too, you know, you have to be willing to implement discipline. Mm-hmm. And it's not something you can say, I'm going to be disciplined for 3 years. No, forever.
So what it sounds like to me is discipline and sacrifice. I mean, sleeping on somebody's kitchen floor or kind of, you know, just being able to be available whenever, however. Right. That sounds like a lot of sacrifice.
It is. Yeah. And it picked off. Like, I remember at one point I was in an apartment. I had like 2 cars, this big apartment. I was juggling a lot. And I said, forget all this. I want to be a full-time musician. Mm-hmm. That's all I want at the moment. And I sacrificed, you know, I moved out of that big apartment. You know, I went back to driving 1 car, which is normal. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, and that's when, like I said, a friend of mine said, you sleep on a spinny. She didn't mean go sleep on a kitchen floor, but she just meant,
no,
what you gotta do, you know,
right.
You gotta do. That's what I did. And then everything took a whole turn. You know, I never went without anything that I needed, but everything, then I started to create the life that I really wanted, the, mm-hmm. you know, the upgrades in every area that I wanted. So mm-hmm. it's worth it. Like I said, sacrifice, discipline. Sacrifice.
Yes. Yes. And focus. Gotta stay focused. Yeah.
And realize that distractions aren't something that happens to you. It's something that you choose. You know, you get again, have plan A. Plan A1, you know. Okay, if you think that you're going to be distracted by something, what are you going to do the minute you realize that? Get distracted? Okay. No. What is your plan on the day where your focus and your motivation is kind of wavering and you call yourself being distracted? You have mm-hmm. to have a plan.
Yes. You have to have a plan for when you don't have your food prepared. I got a diet. Like she said, I heard you. I'm hearing you loud and clear. It's true. It's very true. These are all gems that you're dropping today. I hope that whoever's watching this and that they're, if they're an aspiring artist, musician, brand, even if it's not music, that it does. It takes discipline, sacrifice, and focus.
Yes.
You know, those are big. Now, you are such a grounded person. What practices do you do to keep yourself level in this industry? Because I know that it is hard to not get swept up sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It is hard. I practice keeping to myself. You know, I'm very social. You could probably tell. But at the same time, I'm not one that runs and follows all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. If I feel tired after a show and I don't want to hang out and I know I have another call time, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to go run and hang out, you know. So there's certain things to keep yourself grounded. Lots of prayer. My number one focal point. I haven't mastered meditation just yet. Still kind of a work in progress. Mm-hmm. You know, so I either fall asleep or my mind is racing. So... But prayer that keeps myself grounded, and like I said, and then also a lot of exercise. Being right, you know, people don't. A lot of musicians and artists don't think. Some do, but some do not think that that goes hand in hand with your craft and your artistry and your brand. My personal trainer tells everyone, "You are nothing without good health."
It's so true.
If you think about it too, it goes a long way when you look at other brands that are in a higher tier. A lot of times health is their priority. So you have nothing without that. And that's something that you have to realize. You know, if you want a successful business, whether it's music or anything else, you have to have that balance of rest, self-care.
Yes.
And wellness.
Yes.
It's a big thing. And it's just something that a lot of people don't talk about. You don't hear Rihanna and Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson talking about their diets on stage, you know, or how much sleep they got.
Right.
It's not always a lot. But they have a wellness system, and that's very important. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's a lot of things that I'm sure a lot of younger aspiring talent don't realize, and entrepreneurs, they just don't realize how important it is to pour into themselves and to keep balance, to keep, you know, like you said, sleep, eating, exercising. I mean, and again, as a musician or as someone that plays an instrument, you have to be physically fit.
You do.
I mean, you're moving around stages. You're constantly on the go. You can't you can't not take care of yourself.
I found that out when I first came to New York. I was like, ooh, good thing I'm in shape.
Yeah. And you're carrying around your instrument all the time.
Right. That's another funny story. I'll never forget when I first started playing full time, I wasn't strong enough yet to carry my own bass amplifier. Hmm. So I had friends in the band help me. And then it was kind of funny because I'm like, I'm the bass player, but I can't lift my band. So I grew the stamina and the strength and working mm-hmm. on it, and I could carry my own, you know. So it's like things like that, you know. And then also injuries, you know, you can get yeah. injured and you don't want to be down for too long. Or sometimes if you're really, it depends on what type of injury it can be, you can get injured and spring right back the next day versus mm-hmm. like months away, or, you know. So it just depends. But yeah, wellness is very.
And, you know, you just mentioned something that just made me remember that you also have been endorsed.
Yes.
You have been endorsed. Now, I think it was Mono was one.
That was my newest one. Yes.
Yes. That's your newest one. And I also saw on your list of endorsers and the endorsements, I said, okay, Jesus, you really are out here making moves. But Elixir String stuck out to me. Yeah. Elixir. And now anybody that's a guitarist, bass guitarist, anybody that's a musician, you know Elixir Strings. I mean.
Right. That was my most, I always tell people that was my hardest work for endorsement. It was the only one I actually at the time applied for up until that point. So all mm-hmm. the other ones just offered me. But I actually, and this is where persistence and determination comes in. I applied to Elixir like 4 times and they denied me. And I'm like, but I love your strings, you know. And I just, like, I cannot believe they keep denying me. And I'm like, what do they want to see? You know, and I would, you know, as I kept building my resume, I kept applying like every year. I'm like, okay, I got this tour, I got this brand, I got this blah, blah, blah. I got this, my resume is building. They're still saying no. And I'm like.
Like, really?
So finally, I ended up going to NAMM and I talked to them.
And thank you. And you just mentioned NAMM.
This went to NAMM. That's another thing that's very essential for any artist or musician.
Yes.
And it is. I went and they felt my, I literally went to their booth and I'm like, I literally just told them how much I love their product, how long I've been using it. And they could just feel my energy. They could see, you know, really who I was behind the emails and mm-hmm. stuff. And they were like, yeah.
It's still a wrap. He has to.
Yeah. And to this day, they have been one of my most, I would say, like, lucrative in a business sense way as far as helping my career out. They were behind the Guitar Girl magazine cover. Mm. So, yeah.
And that's something that other artists need to understand, too, is just how that works. Like, there's, it's like building a house. It's your bricks and your mortar. And, you know, every single step that you take is another brick in building your house and building your brand. So, yeah. Yes. And you never know who knows who knows who. So it can just keep trickling, keep bringing you more work.
Right. Literally. So, and it's also being yourself, another testament to any artist or musician, be yourself. I've actually had other musicians come to me and say, well, how are you doing it? Like, what is your secret? And I'm like, I'm just me. I'm not, there's no strategy. There's no ulterior motive.
Right.
That's the main thing. You be you, you know, and people will love you for who you are. The ones that want to love you.
Yeah. I was going to say, you'll attract your tribe pretty much. Exactly.
Yeah. It's the best way to live. Don't try to be like anybody else. The closest, I don't get inspired, like Kobe Bryant, I was inspired by his life and his, not so much his basketball game, I love his game, but his life. You know, mm-hmm. every morning he got up at 3 a.m. He would, you know, be out in the court by 4 a.m. He had a system mm-hmm. that he would mm-hmm. stop breakfast around 7. I studied his schedule and I tried to model myself after his schedule. But even aiming for that became a lot of blessings. So, you know,
I mean, what you just said, though, you said he had a system. He was disciplined. He got up 3 a.m. every day. He ate at a certain time every day. Like he had a almost like it was like ritualistic, you know what I mean? Where it just became like almost like a machine. Like this is what I have to do in order to make it. You know?
And he, because of that, he stayed 5 years ahead of his colleagues, you know, just because of his system. So I think, you know, discipline.
Discipline. Now, what shows do you have coming up?
For me, well, let's see. I have one at MGM. Okay. You're in New York, right? So I don't think you
know. I am.
I have some shows coming up in July. I'm trying to do my next artist show at a venue in Virginia. The one that I had been doing my shows at the City Winery DC just closed down a few months ago. My favorite venue. So until they pick a new location, I'm planning to do one in Virginia next. But until then, I'm doing some shows, you know, locally in Maryland, DC. So my next one is at the MGM Casino.
Excellent. So if people want to come see you, where can they find this information?
They can definitely find it on my website. And if they go to my website, there is a sign up form and you can sign up for my newsletter. And whenever I have a big show coming up, I have all the information going straight to their emails. So it'll have the time, the flyer, the location, the dates, of course, and all that stuff. So yeah, I would say don't really rely on Instagram. Sometimes I post after the fact. So go to my website.
And what's your website?
Tiffsbass.com. So it's T-I-F-F-S and then B-A-S-S.com.
Excellent.
And then all the links to all my social media is on there too. But yeah.
Okay, excellent. And then they can find you across all streaming platforms, or I'm sorry, all like social media platforms, like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
TikTok. A little bit.
TikTok.
More for me to like laugh at other TikToks, but I am on there. Same thing. It's Tiffs based on everything. So LinkedIn, I try to keep that. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Great. Well, you heard it, everyone. Go to any of these social media platforms, follow Tiffs Bass. Go to her website, tiffsbass.com, and you will be able to see exactly where she will be for her performances. This is someone that you do not want to miss. As you can see, she is a gem. It has been such a pleasure talking to you. It's been way too long. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to finally do this.
I hope we can do it again soon. This was really fun.
Yes, absolutely. You know where to find me. You have all my contact info. And vice versa. I won't be a stranger to you either, okay? All right. So everyone, Tiffs Bass, thank you again, my love. It was so great to see you. I hope that you have a blessed night. And stay up. All right. Bye.